When talking about service, I'm sure you'll concur. It's actions that speak louder than words. So with my money, every red cent, I trust these folks 100%. Eastern Utah Community Credit Union.
Now that Christmas has come and gone, are you left with several high-rate credit card bills? At Eastern Utah Community Credit Union, they have a great low-rate alternative to all those high-interest rate cards. You can roll over several balances to either their Premier or Extra Awards Visa card and extend your payment due date an extra month. There are no annual fees, and for a limited time, you can earn 1 point for every dollar you transfer or have your balance transfer fee waived. You can spend the points you earn for gift cards, hotel stays, or cash in your pocket. They're easy to earn and even easier to use. At Eastern Utah Community Credit Union, you can depend on us to help you start this new year off right.
Membership and eligibility required. NCUA insured. Loans approved on credit. Equal housing lender.
Eastern Utah Community Credit Union. Depend on us.
It's time for another legislative update brought to you by Eastern Utah Community Credit Union right here on Castle Country Radio. And joining us over the phone today, we have Representative Carl Albrecht. And first off, Carl, it's always a pleasure to get you on. Thank you again for making time for us this morning.
No problem, Jordan. Glad to do it.
Well, I know there's several items on the agenda that we can talk about. First off, we might as well start with the budget, because I think that's always an important topic that people are interested in. And as you mentioned to me off of the cuff, the budget's just rolling along right now.
It is, and as you know, Utah's balances their budget in this 33 working day session, and the budget's moving along. I'm on the Natural Resources Appropriations Committee, along with Senator Hinkins and Representative Watkins, so we're all three on that. We're in the process right now of making some adjustments to that budget, actually cutting it in a few areas. But that becomes a critical part of the overall budget that the appropriations executive appropriations committee reviews, and you know, I think it's pretty commendable that Utah is able to meet actually 33 working days in the session and balance their budget and move forward. Sometimes department heads in government are not happy with what we do, but we do our best to balance the budget, and just like you do in your business and in your personal life, and the rest of us try to do.
As far as bills go, I know you have a number of bills as well that are probably becoming hot topics. I know we talked to Representative Christine Watkins yesterday about a couple of bills. On your end, what seems to be the most happening topic bill-wise?
Well, most of my bills have moved along out of committee. I've actually got one that's moved out of committee and moved from the House floor over to the Senate floor. I've actually presented it in Senate committee, and it's now on the Senate floor for passage, House Bill 23. It's a streamlining bill of GO-Ed, actually returns $1 million back to the budget and does some things, some other things that streamlines GO-Ed. I am working with GO-Ed and the governor's rural development, rural partnership board on a bill that will be unveiled soon. And I think leadership will support it and move it up the ladder before the session's over. It's an economic development bill for rural Utah. It's a companion bill to a bill that Representative Noel is running. And I can't tell you a whole lot about it right now, but in the future discussions, we can have some good news, I think, for rural Utah.
Well, that's fantastic. And speaking of rural Utah, we're not too far off from Rural Day on the Hill, right? I mean, that's right around the corner.
That will be tomorrow, actually. We expect a lot of rural leaders from rural Utah up here. I'll be speaking to them, as well as some other rural legislators, on a couple of bills that I'm running. And it's always good to have those folks up here and get back to some common sense people.
Now, how difficult is it to represent rural Utah during a session like this, considering the being outnumbered to the extent that rural Utah really is when you go into these meetings and you talk to individuals? I mean, is that a difficult task for someone like yourself?
Well, in my working career, I was up here quite a bit testifying on various committees and so forth on rural issues and power issues and so forth. And so I met a lot of these folks then, both in the Senate and the House. And so I have a pretty good working relationship with a lot of folks up here. And yeah, we're outnumbered, but I think leadership, especially up here, realizes that, you know, rural Utah needs jobs. They need economic development. And so those bills that we propose, they're pretty supportive of, because if you look at what's taking place on the Wasatch Front with all the growth they're getting, it's only creating more problems for them with congestion and on their freeways and, you know, their clean air and so forth. You know, they just put more cars on the road, and our infrastructure seems to be outdated as soon as it's built. So I tell them that the best clean air bill they could have is to move some of these jobs to rural Utah.
If we talk about coal to carbon fiber, this was a brief topic that we had with the Senator Hinkins a little bit early on in the week. What are some of the things that you can tell us about this? Because I know Senator Hinkins was actually quite happy when talking about this subject.
Oh, yeah, that would be awesome for the rural counties, Carbon, Emery, Sevier, that have coal-producing facilities. Right now, I met with one of the lobbyists. He's an attorney for the University of Utah and also represents some of the federal government agencies. Coal to carbon fiber is down there. It's down the road a ways, but it's one of the greatest things that could happen to coal-producing counties. They actually remove the minerals and so forth from the coal till you get down to what they call the pitch of the coal, and then they heat that and run it through a process, and it becomes carbon fiber that you can use on airplanes and cars. It would actually lighten the weight of a plane or a car, but make it stronger. It's quite an incredible process, and I think this is something that could be used down the road, you know, when we slow down with our coal for our power plants, which is not something that I look forward to because I'm a coal guy, but I think, you know, as renewables come along and take a greater share of the market and conversion to natural gas, before that happens, we've got to have battery storage, and that's what I tell folks up here. You know, you can't use wind and solar as a base-loading energy source unless you've got batteries, and that battery technology's not here yet. But down the road, this coal-to-carbon fiber would be a real economic boost to Carbon and Emery and Sevier County.
Representative Carl Albrecht giving us a legislative update. It's always a pleasure to get you on, Carl. Thank you again for the time, and I know we'll catch up again next Thursday.
All right. Appreciate it, Jordan. Have a good day.
And that's another legislative update brought to you by Eastern Utah Community Credit Union.